Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our expository study of the book of Joel. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this expository study of the book of Joel. This is part one of two.
I don't know if you noticed, there's some decorations up that you may not have noticed before. And they're green, if you're colorblind. And they actually show them, move the camera a little bit there, Jenny and Johnny. Show the folks out in TV land what we're talking about. And they actually have lights. So Christmas time comes around, they're going to be lit up. Yeah. And you ain't seen nothing yet. We got big plans. I was just talking to Jenny about putting the disco ball right there in the middle.
Just in case.
No.
Halo ball. So anyway, we are going to get some blinds. And the main reason for the blinds is because there's a bunch of blinds people in here. And especially on Sundays when it's bright, the sun coming through makes everybody look like Smurfs. And it makes it hard to read. And so we also are going to put, we're going to try a little brighter light bulb. But I was telling Jim and a few others a little bit ago, they're still going to be warm white. They're not going to turn everything into like a big, you know. Right after we got married, I bought these LEDs and they were worse than what I was telling you. It made everything look blue.
Felt like you were in interrogation.
Yeah, it was terrible. But I'm the type that I'm like, I'm committed. I bought them. We're going to use them. And after about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I'm like, I can't stand this. This is driving me crazy.
It's my first test.
Yeah, she passed. She didn't leave me. Got to turn it down a bit. The big lie. Have you heard of that? The big lie. Repeated over and over by Satan's Democrat, liberal, communist, and rhinos. Of course, there's a bunch of big lies, actually, that have been repeated, and most people on the street will tell you they believe those lies. One of them is Donald Trump made fun of a cripple guy because he did this. When the truth of the matter is, he did the same thing making fun of Ted Cruz. He did the same thing making fun of a general. And he did that about this reporter, and this reporter does have an arm that's kind of shriveled up like that, but he doesn't do this. So it's a big lie. Talk to people in the street. They watch the lying news media, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and yes, even Fox News. Now, I always have to say this. There are a few people on Fox News we like, but the news department, gone. Then you have the locals. Don't think you're getting any better from your local news. 4, 6, 10, 28, read the same script being sent all over the country, and it's a bunch of lies. And right now, the mass majority of people in this country believe that there was a breach of the Capitol building on January 6th and that Trump supporters were trying to insurrect and overthrow the government. It's a hogwash lie. We showed Sunday the video. Capitol City Police opened the doors and invited them in. That's not a breach. A handful of people were destructive, most of which I believe are Antifa or BLM.
Amen.
But if you think that is, listen folks, 70 million gun-owning Trump supporters, if we'd wanted a insurrection, it'd be lights out right now across the entire country right now.
Amen.
That is a joke. That was a picnic. That wasn't an insurrection.
Right.
And anybody saying otherwise is full of baloney.
Huh?
That's trying to overthrow the government. And it was a few people that broke some things.
Somebody tried out.
Now listen, this is the big lie. I want you to listen. This is what's being told over and over. And I just picked this guy because most people are so stupid today that they get their news from late night comics. And here's one of them.
Clear-eyed as possible. What we saw today was a violent insurgency, an attempt to overthrow the legitimately elected government of the United States. And it was incited, directed, and encouraged by the President, Donald Trump.
It's a big, fat lie. And what I do is I show you, save it to the end, I don't know if you heard me say that. What they do is lie and lie and lie, and then the people out there, generally speaking, believe it.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is most of those people are tech savvy enough that they could go on the internet and do their own research and see that it's a lie. There are some, we have a few here, don't use the internet. But you're also not stupid enough to turn on the local news and think you're getting the news.
Amen.
But most of the people who are tuning into the local and national news think they're getting the news, and they make no effort to check it out. Listen, Acts 17:11 says that the noble Christian listens to preachers, including the Apostle Paul, and then search the Scriptures daily to see if what they're being told is so.
Amen.
That's the attitude of the noble Christian. Anyone who's noble, test what you're told. And people don't do it. President Trump did not call for violence. He specifically, plainly, clearly called for peaceful protest.
Republicans are constantly fighting like a boxer with his hands tied behind his back. It's like a boxer. And we want to be so nice. We want to be so respectful of everybody, including bad people. And we're going to have to fight much harder. And Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. And if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country. Because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution. Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy.
Now listen.
And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building.
Listen.
To peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
I played it a couple minutes. I played that because I didn't want anybody to accuse me of taking a slice of a 10-second soundbite. It's clear that he's telling people to be peaceful. And the liars on your news media are telling you he incited the violence. They're liars. They're full of the devil. And we have been showing people for about 10 years. For about 10 years, we've been showing people lie after lie after lie from the news media.
Amen.
And there are a lot of people who are ignorant of it because they go listen to somebody who's not going to tell them these things on purpose. And that's what's going on in this country. Gathering teachers having itching ears. Few Republicans have this woman's courage.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to quote the President of the United States. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Go home with peace, with love, and in peace. Remember this day forever. President Donald Trump, I condemn this violence. Republicans have condemned this violence. President Trump has condemned this violence. But elected Democrats over the past year have promoted violence, have supported it. They fund it on their ActBlue fundraising platform, and there has been billions of damage caused over the past year of riots all over this country. You know how many companies have endured violence and destruction? I have 83 pages here of businesses that had property damage, were burned, and through the Minnesota riots. Our president, our vice president-elect, Kamala Harris, posted the Minnesota Freedom Fund bail link encouraging people to donate money to bail criminals out of jail.
The gentleman has expired.
I yield back.
That's the truth right there. The Democrat Party is violent. They have supported the violence for the entire year, and they have encouraged their voters to help bail out the criminals. And now your news media totally ignores that.
Right.
And then tells you the problem is Trump supporters. Because about a dozen broke some things at the Capitol, and they're trying to convince you that was an insurrection. I'll tell you again, if there was an insurrection ever mounted by Trump supporters, there'd be outer, utter darkness throughout the land of the United States for weeks, months, or even years.
Amen. It should be.
Liberals are lying hypocrites.
Amen. Yeah, they are.
And for years, I've been criticized. I shouldn't use, you know, pick on the liberals. It's not liberal versus conservative. Yes, it is.
Amen.
And it always has been. Because being a liberal means you don't believe God's word. You don't believe in absolute truth. You don't believe in the Constitution. You want the Constitution to be a living, breathing document so you can pervert it and use it to kill babies and to have sodomites married and all the other wicked things of the Democrat Party agenda.
Amen.
It's just plain truth, and Christians have chosen for too long to be ignorant, willfully ignorant. A conservative, by definition, means you stand for the Constitution politically. A conservative, by definition, in Christianity, means you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the true Savior of the world. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the Savior of the world. There is no other, etc. By definition, a liberal will never be saved unless they repent of being a liberal. And I am sick of the so-called preachers in this country who will not tell their people the truth. And I don't care who that preacher is, if you know a preacher who isn't telling his people the facts on these matters, you're looking at a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's what most churches have today.
I think it's fair. I would also, and this maybe isn't the most important part of this, but it is jarring, if you look at this from a perspective
of show you how the lying hypocrites in action.
These events over the past year, when BLM is torching cities and doing all these things, almost every mainstream media personality is on the air saying it's either a version of it's justified, or we can completely understand their anger, or you can't blame them.
May I just play the montage of what happened over the summer with the media?
I want to be clear in how I characterize it. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't ironic what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis. They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal. Morally.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
Thank goodness for the looters, man.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I don't care that much about statues.
By a respectfully, should that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
You're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Do not get it twisted and think that, oh, this is something that has never happened before, and then this is so terrible, and where are we, and he's out of here, and all of that. This is how this country was started.
People get mad, and people get sick of it. People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Most of the major movements in American history have started at the grassroots level, and at some point have turned into direct conflict with American government. So, remember your history before you judge your present.
Thuggishness is thuggishness wherever it comes from politically, and we should be the first to call it out.
I disagree.
That is absolutely breathtaking. Breathtaking.
I purposely played their three or four versions of that. I wanted you to see that an unsaved Mormon has more guts than most of your evangelical preachers today.
Right.
Yep.
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 And what he's... What he, Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.
That was the beard and mustache?
And the waved hair.
The whole point of that was to show you that your news media is a complete propaganda machine. Not tell you the truth. And I hope it's sinking in that the reason I've been preaching this about a third of our current events updates over the years is because if you can't see it now, this is going to result in our constitutional republic being overthrown.
Yep.
And it will not end until they're locking us up.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that just to scare you, but you should be scared in a human sense.
Yep.
You better be saved, know where you're going.
Amen.
And be ready to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a serious question. Are you willing to suffer? Because it's coming to that. And folks, Christians have been suffering all over the world for 2,000 years, and Americans got the idea some reason we're exempt. I can't find that in the Bible. I keep looking and I don't find it. He's been very gracious and merciful to us. But the Bible makes it clear there comes a time when the gig is up. Here's some examples of the party of love. These are all Democrats. And we're supposed to believe Trump supporters are the dangerous ones. Madonna says, quote, let's blow up the White House. Peter Fonda, quote, lock 10-year-old Barron Trump in a cage with child molesters.
Wow.
Johnny Depp, quote, we need another John Wilkes Booth.
Wow.
Tom Arnold, quote, I fantasize about standing over Donald Trump Jr.'s dead body.
Wow.
Joe Beijing Biden, quote, I'd like to take Trump behind a barn to beat him, end quote. Cory Booker, I dream of punching Trump in the face. I think Donald Trump might dream you try.
Yeah.
I'm not a betting man, but I'd put some money on that one, Donald Trump. Loretta Lynch, quote, who says protests have to be peaceful? Actually, our Constitution does.
Amen.
Here's Maxine to ice the cake.
You have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Who have protested taking up at their house. Who sang no faith, no sleep. No faith, no sleep. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you put cap on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Wow.
You do what? I can understand.
She's telling you to harass and intimidate and stalk Trump's people. Liberals have the heart of Lucifer. John 8:44, Jesus says, liars are of their father the devil.
Amen.
So we'll leave it there. But we must learn to laugh and trust God as we fight. Amen?
Amen.
I love this headline. Trump praised for accepting election results 4 years quicker than Hillary Clinton did. One last word. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 17:22. Take it to the Lord and then continue to enjoy have the joy of your salvation and go through life with the Lord. But we're to fight the good fight. Amen. That's in the Word. So let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us to discern the times. Because of your book, we know what's happening is lining up with the Antichrist agenda. It's no coincidence that everything's lining up exactly the way your word says. And we expect any moment for even bigger things to take place. We're ready spiritually if we're saved. Thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, that we can face these things. And Lord, now we ask your help as we study, your Holy Spirit to be our guide and our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so as I said, we're down to the end of Joel chapter 2. Joel summarizes the great tribulation. We're going to read those last, 5 verses? 28 through 32? 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. That's 5. And I'll have you read the odd verses with... No, I'm going to have you read the even. That doesn't make sense. Read the even. Jump right in with verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So one of the most abused and misunderstood texts in the Bible, and I'm not going to spend as much time. You remember our last study, we talked about how the former rain and the latter rain is abused by charismatics, and it has nothing to do with the charismatic movement. And then they also come here and claim that this is a prophecy of the gifts, sign gifts and everything in our dispensation, and it's not. So we'll come to that in just a moment. We read there in the beginning of verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward. And what's amazing is when I first I read through Joel, you know, in my Bible reading, and then finally came to a point where I was studying the minor prophets, and just happens to be most Christians don't even study these books.
Yeah.
And then those who study all the books, these are some of the last ones they get to. And that's just the way it works out. And so I was studying this, and it seemed, I was a bit confused as I was reading this, because my Bible didn't have the little pilcros, the little paragraph markings. Does your Bible have those? How many of you have a paragraph marking? It looks like a...
I do.
Show Linda what that looks like. Show your neighbor if they don't have one. Yeah, tomahawk. And... not all King James Bibles have them, although they should. And they're just paragraph markings. The verses of the Bible aren't paragraphs. They're just a delineation of verses. God gave us those, and thank God for them. If you ever... one of the things I always tell everybody when they have somebody pretend to know Hebrew and Greek is give them a Hebrew and Greek text that isn't all separated for them. Let them see how the original actually looked. There are no markings, no punctuation, no chapters, no verses. And there isn't anybody you know who could read that Hebrew or Greek text and actually tell you what it says and means. Nobody knows Greek and Hebrew today.
Amen.
Just get that through your heads. That's just the reality. And so the pilchros were put there by people who do know Greek well enough to actually speak it and write letters and everything. And it just helps people know when there's a change of thought and that sort of thing. Doug?
Yeah, most people read these last because they think it's...
You're talking about the minor prophets.
Less significant.
Yeah.
But it's the size.
Yeah. The word minor... Yeah, we talked about that before we studied Hosea. The word minor doesn't mean they're not important.
Exactly.
It just means they're small.
Exactly.
The minor-sized prophets.
Right.
So, as I said, I was reading through Joel for the first time trying to understand it, and it wouldn't be obvious to me, reading this, that we're when it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward," that it's talking about the Great Tribulation period. Actually, the flow of chapter 2, it almost made me think it was talking about after the tribulation period. Because up above it, it's even talking about the millennium. So, what we all have to realize is sometimes the Holy Spirit answers our questions for us. And that's what we're going to see in this. I've read commentaries. And the commentaries were all blatantly trying to say that this was this... or that, and a lot of them try to say it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And it wasn't.
Amen.
And so I found that this, "And it shall come to pass afterward," refers to the last days. Now, again, not obvious in the text, but I had a little help. This isn't my opinion. It's not even debatable. Why? Comparing Scripture with Scripture, we're told.
Amen.
So you look, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward." Now look at Acts 2 and verse 17. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Peter is speaking. Verse 14 says he lifted up his voice, etc. And verse 17, if you're there, read it with me. "And it shall come to pass in the last days." Now stop. Where afterward is in our Old Testament Joel, the words "the last days." Now, if you remember what we read, verse 28, now as we finish verse 17, you'll see it's the same verse.
Yep.
Joel 2:28 is being quoted here in Acts 2:17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days," pick up there with me, "saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Let's stop there. Now go back to verse 28. And you'll see it's the same thing, only, "And it shall come to pass," instead of "the last days," it says "afterward." Telling you what "afterward" means. You can't get much better than that when it comes to, for example, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." And you're like, "Well, what's that mean?" The Holy Spirit tells you, that's in Isaiah. Go to Matthew, and the Holy Spirit defines it for you and says, "God with us." So we don't have to guess about it when the Bible is written by men who, under the Holy Spirit's guidance, write the inspired words of God from the word inspiration. Theonoustos, everybody likes it. It just means God breathed, air, pneuma, spirit. That's the Holy Spirit breathes His own words through men using their language, their vocabulary, their experiences, their personality, gave us what He wanted us to have. That's what the given by inspiration in 2 Timothy 3:16 means. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. The Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit a lot of times gives us something in the Old Testament and we're having trouble figuring out what it is. And then He gives us the answer. And that kind of really clearly sets out that saying that what is in the old concealed is in the new revealed.